Remember this portion of God's story as it is written in the book that we love, from John's Gospel. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticoes. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him,
Thules, hugenes, genesetha.
Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And when I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him,
Egare, Aaron, tan krabatan sukai, periputai.
Stand up, take your mat, and walk. At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, assist us by your grace that we might contemplate these mysteries of ancient times, eternal mysteries that change everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I've changed my title for this morning's talk. I like titles. And this one is kind of fun for an IWS session. I call this talk Bad Theology. You ever been guilty of any bad theology? Oh my gosh. I have perpetrated bad theology and I am so ashamed. It has been forced on me and had a corrupting influence in my heart and mind, and I want to be free from bad theology. Let me tell you, Jesus ran into all kinds of bad theology along his way. And sometimes he got a little bit gruff with people because of it, correcting it. I want us to look this morning as we consider being and doing, the divine being expressing himself in divine doing, and one of those ways making us in his image, the image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making us male and female, and making us as human beings. And as we explore what kind of doing we should do to look at him, what he does, and as we abide in him, as we dwell in him, letting his being express itself through us in our doings. Three of the seven miracles, as we contemplate divine doing, three of the seven miracles that John records in his gospel are healings. And if you hear any useful information in this talk, it probably came from Jerry Borchert's commentaries on the Gospel of John. Anything that's bad theology, please do not lay at his doorstep. That's me meandering and kind of feeling my way along. Three of the miracles are healings. The official son, the healing of the official son in chapter 4. The healing of the paralytic at the Pool of Bethesda that we just heard read. And then also the healing of the man born blind. Three of seven. That's really intriguing to me that so many of the miracles of Jesus that John recorded are healings. Healing is an important thing. But at every point on the curve, Jesus encounters bad theology somewhere. With the official son, without the official just come and ask, would you please heal my son? please. And Jesus begins to chide him for asking for a sign right up front. All you people want is signs and wonders. I've been guilty of that. When I was in high school, I began to meet some Pentecostal and charismatic high school classmates. I got very fascinated with the phenomena of miracles, of prophecies, of healings. And I became pretty much a glory cloud chaser for quite a few years there. I was looking for signs and wonders. And I had to get retooled. I had to reorient myself that what I was really after was the one who sometimes does signs and wonders, but the signs and wonders weren't the point. So bad theology there that Jesus is correcting. I love, Jerry, in your commentary, I love you noticing a pattern in these miracles that first you observe a need that then expresses itself in a longing, and then Jesus issues a censure, a correction, but then he goes ahead and does a miracle. I just love that about our God. He notices our needs and our longings, and he'll issue a correction, and then he meets us in those needs and longings. The second story that we heard, the paralytic at Bethsaida, Jerry observed in his book that there might be an interesting parallel in the fact that the narrative tells us how long he'd been paralyzed, 38 years. Janet's mom, my mother-in-law, who lives in Nashville now, has been paralyzed on her left side for 5 years. That seems like an eternity to her. She can't do it. The only thing she really can do on her own is she can lift a fork with her right arm and feed herself. Everything else pretty much has to be done for her. 38 years had to seem like an eternity to this guy. But Jerry notices that I wonder if there's an allusion here to the 38 years of wilderness wanderings. Was Jesus preaching a subtext that it wasn't just about one paralytic, but about the paralysis of his whole people? But bad theology he encounters again in this paralytic. Now, this guy is a sad sack. This is Eeyore, I'm telling you. Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" I think that's a very perceptive question. And as we learn to emulate the divine doing of God, it behooves us to learn to ask wise and perceptive questions, leading questions. Typically, we go into a situation and just start giving advice, telling people everything we think we know. But it's so much wiser to ask a leading question. Do you really want to be well? And the man just started spewing bad theology. First, he spewed a mythology about an angel troubling the water and first come, first served, and I don't have anybody to get me down there, and I have all this abandonment, and what was the old hee-haw thing about misery and what? Say it again. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's this guy. When you're singing that song of misery, that's the bad theology that the paralytic starts spewing out. And interestingly enough, Jesus goes ahead and heals him, and when he encounters him later, he is still chiding him, saying, "Go and don't sin anymore, or something worse is going to happen to you." I mean, Jesus was getting gruff with this bad theology. Then, with the man born blind, when they come upon him, the 12 start questioning Jesus. Bad theology comes from Jesus' closest friends this time. Is it his fault or is it his parents' fault that he's born blind? Look at all the bad theology that Jesus encounters all along the way. But Jesus, that he explains, no, this is so God's glory can be seen, can be felt, can be experienced. And he goes ahead and heals him. We are going to encounter bad theology along the way. May we not be guilty of it ourselves. And where we encounter it, may we not be too gruff with the Lord of the ages. He can be gruff if he wants to. It's his world. But let's learn to be gentle, and if someone's going to be gruff with the bad theology, let him do it. But in every instance, look for ways to be a servant leader. Ask the wise question. Notice the problem. Notice the need. Notice the longing. If you have a word or two of advice, offer it. But go to those leading questions and reach out and serve and touch and heal. I believe that as we reach out to each other in our difficulties, in our woundedness, in our sickness, that miraculous things happen. Maybe not always miraculous physical healings, but there are far deeper needs even than our physical difficulties. Our friend Eric Weiss, who wrote Our Father in Heaven and Be Still, Eric got a MRSA infection in one of his hands a couple of years ago. And I found out about it, and it was pretty rapidly advancing. And he was at a hospital that was quite near my home. And I emailed him, and I said, Eric, has anyone come by and anointed you with oil and prayed for you? And he said, well, he said the pastor of our church is going to in a day or two. But he said, man, I'd love it if you'd be willing. And so I got a little vial of oil, and I drove over there. When I got to the door of Eric's hospital room, there was a warning on the door about his MRSA infection, and there was the antibacterial on the door. Cleanse your hands as you go in and as you go out. And I realized as I got there, I'm walking into harm's way. This has happened to me a couple times visiting the sick in hospitals, and I realized I am walking into harm's way. Well, it didn't occur to me not to go in, but it was a very sobering thought to actually come near that person in their woundedness. We had a sweet time of prayer together and anointing, and the Lord restored him and drove the infection away and raised him up. But whatever we encounter along the way, all kinds of bad theology, let's take note of that, correct it where we can, especially our own bad theologies, but always be willing to reach out to those who are wounded, to those who are hurting, meeting them in their place of need, their place of longing. An interesting correction of bad theology in the early church, one of the earlier components that made its way into corporate Christian worship is the Kyrie. And in the singing, of the intoning of the Kyrie, Kyrie eleison, it was a very common expression in worship, and it began to work its way into the prayer of the church. But the leaders in the early church noticed that some of the Roman citizens could be found sitting on their front porches at sunrise singing Kyrie eleison to the sun. And so they very quickly added a correction. Add Christe eleison. Not just Lord have mercy, but Christ have mercy.